Hey there, welcome back to another episode of the Hope Sessions podcast, where every week we want to give you encouragement through different means, such as testimonies, dialogues with guests, along with diving into the scriptures and exploring the incredible life-transforming truths inside it. So with all that being said, here's another episode for you to tune into and listen to. God bless. Enjoy the episode. Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Hope Sessions podcast with me, Jerry D. And today what I want to do is I've strategically invited this guest on so that we could discuss the topic of mission, which is basically presenting Jesus either in your locality or in the form of an overseas missions trip where you will go and give ministry needs, financial needs, humanitarian needs, whatever it may be, depending on the location you're going. And it is a joy to have my own, very own pastor, Pastor Stephen, coming back on. I believe it's for the third or fourth time. The reason why I say that is because usually when you invite someone back the second time, it's kind of a step of faith, you know. But then when they come back the third or fourth time, it just becomes a blessing, an honor, and a joy. And that's how I feel about this dialogue today. I'm looking forward to having just a dialogue with Pastor Steve. But Pastor Steve, you're so welcome. Thank you again for giving up your time to come on and just have this dialogue today.
Hi, Jerry. It's a delight to talk with you. It's a delight to be on this with you. Joined it the last time as well. Very different topic the last time. I think the last time we talked about marriage and relationships and all.
That's right.
I think maybe it was a benefit to you, possibly.
Amen. Yeah, amen. I actually heeded your advice and I acted upon it.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. Yeah. And today we're talking about missions, so maybe you'll end up heading off to some far-flung place after today.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having me on.
You're so welcome. So today, what I've wanted to do, Pastor Steve, you've recently just come back from a missions trip to Zambia. And maybe if people are aware, maybe they've seen may have seen a picture and just kind of gone, oh, that's lovely. But today I just want to dive into it really and allow you to kind of give us a report of what happened on the trip, you know, why did you go, that kind of thing. But I think it's important to say that the reason why we Christians go on mission, whether that be in Ireland where we're based or whether it be overseas, is because we're acting upon the Great Commission that Jesus left us with in Matthew chapter 28. And I'll read it here. It says the following in Matthew 28, verse 18 onwards. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching these things to new believers to obey all commands that I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And that's the promise, that's the encouragement that we get from the Lord to act upon this. And you have, in a very real way, you've left Ireland, which could be considered your home, your comfort zone, so on. And you got on a plane and traveled many a thousand miles into a land you've never been before, which naturally, I'm sure there was an element of, oh, will I be able for the heat? Will I be able for the such and such? Just different components that you're not used to. So I want to hand it over to you, if that's okay, and just allow you to share what the experiences were like. What was your purpose of the trip? I know you went over there with a good friend of yours called Gareth Hayes, who's been on the podcast as well. So yeah, I want to hand it over to you and allow you to share, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure. I might go back a little bit, Jerry, to earlier years.
Yeah.
When I came to Cork first, I remember saying to the Lord, God, if you're taking me to this place, Cork, which was opposite end of the country, if you're taking me down there, then God, you're going to have to give me love for the people. And I remember. I don't get this a lot, but this was one time where I felt God gave me a picture. And it was a picture of people walking on, I suppose, in the city of Cork. It was like the city of Cork. It was flat, and people were just going about their normal business, their job. They were carrying coffees.
Yeah.
They would come to the edge of like the plain or the town, the streets. They would come to the edge of the streets and fall off into an abyss.
Yeah.
And I remember I think it was like a dream that I had, and I remember God just stirring me up with a love for people that people are lost.
Yeah.
People are lost, and they're not just lost, they're really, really, really lost.
Yeah.
And the mission that we have is an extension of the mission of Christ.
Yeah.
And he came to seek and save that which was lost, and he sacrificed himself, and he did that because people are really, really lost.
Yeah.
And that lostness goes into a lost eternity, which is
yeah.
It's so important, and I'm sharing that with you because it stirred something up in me, you know, when I came here,
yeah,
for the mission of Cork and the mission of our church and what we're trying to achieve here. Sorry, I'm just battling with my headphones.
You're okay. You're okay.
And so I was this really moved me and motivated me, and it keeps coming back, Jerry.
Yeah.
God, I suppose the journey with Zambia started here, because about a year after I came here, I came here 18 years ago. We announced a trip to Zambia shortly after I came here, and Wilma went on that trip. So my journey with Zambia started with my wife going to Zambia, which is funny. So she went first, but at that time, God had just put to stay at home and help the rest.
Yeah.
And I was okay with that. You know, my kids were young. I was okay not to go.
Yeah.
And I'm not the natural. I am not the gung ho. I'm not a Gareth Hayes, you know, flying spirits, you know.
Yeah.
I do love the outdoors and I love adventure, but I approach things, you know, God allowed me to train as an engineer. So so when I go into something, I automatically I want to see the path through to an end. And so I don't typically start something without knowing how this thing is going to work, how it's going to end up, you know, where this is going, how do we finish this, you know. And if I don't see a path to finish, then I hesitate.
Yeah.
So I'm not your typical gung-ho, you know, let's just go do something, you know. I think it through first and get all that you need together, make sure all parts are in play. But God took me then into youth ministry. My head, when he asked me to speak about this, in my head I was thinking back, I started to think. My start was, no, I'm not really a missions person. But when I look back on it, I am actually a missions person.
Yeah.
You know, even though I, like, Zambia has been, I suppose, the first time going to Africa on a mission of that type. But I'm a missions person, and I always motivate. And I think you came on some of the youth missions trips, the mission Ireland. We did, and I was thinking back to that as well, that you know that God has called me to missions, you know, and a lot of the youth missions was very much administration. I would organize teenagers, make sure they were fed, they were safe,
yeah,
they knew what they were doing, and were looked after, and put you know, streets and the gospel. So I ended up doing that type of missions. Suppose is also a mission to young people and encouraging them, you know, and this is called them to do. Anyway, 18 years ago, my wife went out to Zambia. And then, 18 years ago, we started the whole project of sending a team to Zambia. My wife goes out. A year later, another team goes out. Gareth goes out. And I'm friends with Gareth, you know, so we do a lot of stuff. We would holiday together, do different things. He brings a tractor. There was a lot of good stories like that. I'm sure he might have told you some of those. He organizes a tractor in Donegal, drives it the whole way down the country with a team of other farmers. They take turns in this tractor, bring it to Cork, other stuff, and we end up doing a lot for Zambia. And I'm just on more of the admin end. I stay at home, keep everything organized. And so Gareth goes out. He connects with people in Zambia, and God sows something into his heart. Now jump forward to COVID. Gareth calls me one day. He has reunited with somebody in Zambia who's still feeding children out there, and this was the original mission of Zambia. And all this time, that is to take the street kids that are out there and to help them.
Yeah.
There are huge, there are thousands and thousands of AIDS orphans out there. Their parents have been wiped out with the AIDS epidemic. They are left to fend for themselves, and they form into groups in the office and different places, but one of the biggest groups is in Lusaka, in the city of Kampala. And so they scavenge for food, they form sort of communities to try and help each other through this, but huge amount of need there. And so anyway, during COVID, Gareth reconnects with a man called Elijah, and he goes out. Planes are empty, you know, nobody's flying, nobody's doing anything. But him and my brother actually head out to Zambia and reunite with this man, Elijah. This is a wonderful, wonderful brother. He has kept going. He just uses whatever, at that time, he just used whatever resources he had. So Gareth goes over, and it when he goes, it stirs something up in me, you know, and even though I've no plan I'm talking about it, I'm thinking about it, thinking about these kids, how can we do this, you know, what, how can we help them, and God just sow something into my heart for the mission there, I suppose, and for these kids, and it goes on from there. And I think you know some of the journey that
sure.
feed the kids to Gareth's home, gets established, and so journey on a bit, and Gareth asked me, "Is it right?" Out, and I've God has stirred it up in me, and I want to help.
Yeah.
So So, I would discuss a lot of things with Gareth and we would explore ideas because I just that engineer mind again, I can see options, I can see destinations, I can see paths, I can see things join together. God has given me that. So I brought it to the church and decided to go on. It was an amazing experience. Really, really amazing. Suppose for me, that old engineer mind kicked in again. What about malaria? What about heat? Pale face, bluey white. I never tan. So heat and me, sunshine and me, that's always a bit of a struggle. So anyway, all this through, but I know God is in it, so press on through with that stuff. Get different inoculations, and you have to do that when you go out there. You have to think about malaria. You have to think about different diseases. Just be wise through that and. Get on the plane and land out there. The first thing that hit me out there was just the heat. We walk out of a lovely air cooled airport, and the heat just hits you. And we get into this minibus vehicle, and we start driving, and the air conditioning doesn't work, and it's hot, it's tough, and there are all these people walking on the roads, and as you're driving by, it seems like you're going to hit them, and these are just some of the initial impressions. And at the sides of the roads, there's these huge, like crater type drains. That just run along the side of the road, and so you're driving along, your heart is in your mouth because they're confident driving over there, and you're so close to people, and there's these pits at the side of the road, and that's it's a great experience, but so we drive straight away. We go to the church there, and this church is just around the corner from the Gareth's home that established. And so there's a great connection with that church, with the mission and that church. So have a little look around at the property of the church. And this church, they have partnered with the mission and been so kind, and they have allowed earlier trips, they allowed them to build showers and wash facilities and so on the grounds of the church. And they will have the kids from the church. They'll let them wash their clothes. They will feed them, and they will minister to them. Only this because the next day we go back and we do this, and we're part of that. But we go into the church at night and they start to worship. It's just beautiful. Just it, and you just feel at home. We're both Christians. God is here. And they have a lovely welcome for us. And they're just so kind to us. And they feed us after. So we get some of the Zambian food, which is lovely. Back to our accommodation that night. I'm just giving you some of the impressions of that. We go in. There's no air conditioning in it. That this place that we're using. There's a fan in the corner of the room, so switch on the fan. It's really so. It's no use to me. So anyway, I find another fan in another part of the accommodation to pull that in. On the fan, checking for mosquitoes as you do. Over the beds, so it's sort of it's just an unusual picture, for me. So go in there and settle in for the night. But it's really hot, it's hard to sleep.
Sure.
So anyway, get up the next day and we go back to that church, and the streets, the kids from the streets come to the church, and we get to just speak to them. And as you're speaking to them, you can see, and we get to spend time with them. You can just see that they're high on something, and we know it to be sticker, probably sort of a gasoline spirits vapor that they sniff,
Well,
and they get high on that, and it helps them to, I suppose, cope with the pain of life.
well.
So a lot of them are on that. So your interactions have to, to their levels. And then another thing that struck me about them was that they come into the church where you get to speak with them and interact with them. They sit down and they fall asleep.
Oh.
And you can imagine them when they're out on the dump, when they're sleeping out in the places where they sleep. There's no security. And so they have to sleep with one eye open, and because they're going to be that whatever possessions they have are going to be stolen from them.
Yeah.
Defend themselves. They could be abused. So these kids, Jerry, these kids, they get into the church and they're secure. They're
Yeah.
safe, and so they fall asleep because they're safe.
Yeah.
It's not that they're being unmannered. They're exhausted.
Yeah.
Trying to cope with this life. They're just kids.
Yeah.
Kids going into teenagers. So anyway, talk to them, share the gospel in simple ways, pray for them, lay hands on them. I say lay hands as a
Yeah.
remember, God gave me one message. Just you're always looking for a way to explain the gospel to them. So I just went over to the door to the church.
Sure.
Said, that Jesus is a door. Door to life. It's with the end of it. Door is life. Door to life. And you might think it's a door. Just trying to bring the gospel to them in ways that they can appreciate and absorb.
Yeah.
So you just see, just very struck with the pain there, Jerry. The pain in those kids. They're abused. That they're just trying to survive.
Yeah.
What are their prospects? What have they got to look forward to? So we try and help them with that. And then from there, we go to the girls' home. When we arrive at the girls' home, they're waiting for us, and they start to sing. Was just so beautiful. They sing, they sing about traveling and you're welcome here. And there's you can see they're clapping, and there's joy, and there's happiness,
Yeah.
and you just see the excitement in them. And that is what 50 meters away from that church. So your walk. So I went from seeing kids that are broken to seeing these girls who, for the past 4 years, have been in the home. So it's a short time from when they have been on the streets themselves.
Yeah.
They were those kids
Wow.
ministered to, and now they're dancing, they're clapping, and when I say sing, they can sing. They have that rhythm, and they clap and they dance and they sing, and they all do this sort of chorus thing together. It's beautiful. It's
Wow.
so beautiful. And we go in, and there's such a lovely welcome, and so you're just struck. I was just struck straight away with the health,
Yeah.
and those guys. There's about maybe 15, 16 girls there, and a few lads, a few young lads as well that are at home had to be taken out off the streets. And health, Jerry, the way that there's healing there, you
Yeah.
can see that these kids, they're not shying away, they're not ashamed, they're not suspicious. There's a peace in them, there's a confidence, there's a smile on their face. They're willing and well able to have little conversations, and they're up for a bit of fun.
Yeah.
I was getting them to do little videos and tell them that, because Ronan and Natasha have been over there. Ronan,
Yes.
so he's been over there. I was just getting them to do little videos saying that Ronan, your dad, is much more handsome than you are, and all these sorts of jokes. And they were just loving all this.
Yeah.
And so, but what I'm struck with is that God can heal.
Yeah.
Heal. And the brokenness that they have suffered, and I'm sure many people in our own country have suffered brokenness, people
Yeah.
listening to the podcast, there's so much hurt and abuse and brokenness. God can heal. And he can, where there has been pain, he can heal. Where there's been, even abuse, he can put forgiveness
Yeah.
and set people free from the shackles that these types of traumas would wrap us in.
Yeah.
And you just see healing, and it's just so beautiful, so beautiful.
And then it's incredible just to think how you said that the kids would come into the church and they would fall asleep because they were just exhausted from trying to stay awake in fear of their possessions being taken and stuff like that, right? And then around the corner, you've got the girls' home where you literally see transformation. I think that's such an incredible picture. And it's also such a credible thing to think that those girls in that home now could be used to actually reach out to those kids as well, that they literally come from the same place that those kids come from. And what a testimony of God's healing power at work in someone's life to heal and save and redeem. It's such a striking image. I mean, I'm trying to visualize where the church is around the corner in my mind now, It's beautiful.
It's
Wow.
amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that is also going on there that caught me was the school. So in the girls' home, they have the school, and the girls, the kids that are resident in the home, there's 15, 16 of them. They go to that school, but also they bring in all the neighborhood kids into the school. Not all of them. They select them. And so there's maybe 50 kids being taught in the school there. And just the loveliness of the whole experience, to see those kids getting an education. Now this area that these kids are coming from, they have these kids that aren't resident in the home. They have their own parents, and they come in. They all wear uniforms. They come in, but it's a broken area. It's a really, really deprived area that the kids come in, and you see the order, and you see the appreciation, and the respect, and because they know that this education is their path to a life. To a better life, so they really, really appreciate it. It's just a lovely thing to be able to do in that community. And so Yeah, so it was lovely to experience that. We did songs, we did a whole program with the kids there. We celebrated the fourth birthday of the home and the school.
Wow.
Celebrated St. Patrick's Day. We were a couple of days late, but we had Patrick's Day, and so that was a lot of fun. The games, challenges, and all sorts of things with them.
Yeah.
So that was great. One of the things that I wanted to do on this trip was to introduce music in this. When we were traveling out, I got a guitar, an old guitar, got it done up a bit. We put the guitar into a suitcase, and it's guitar the guitar case went into a suitcase, and cut a hole in the top of the suitcase to let the guitar stick out. And then I got two ukuleles, and Gareth had got two keyboards, two piano keyboards up in Donegal. And so my two suitcases, one of them is a guitar neck sticking out, ukuleles and other rhythm instruments and things. And the other suitcase is two keyboards shrink wrapped together, all wrapped up. And this is what I'm wheeling out. And shout out actually to MS Instruments in town. They sold their ukuleles and they helped do up the guitar and everything. Yeah,
Wow.
really kind. I called James and they're just so kind. Anyway, get the instruments out and started teaching them, and they got one song almost.
Wow.
Yeah, so but they're very musical.
Okay.
There are musicians in the church around the corner, so a lot of hope there, that out of what we brought out, there'll be musicians come out of that and worship leaders. And it's also a very healthy thing, I think, for kids. It's just one of the things that I wanted for my kids was two things actually. I wanted them to swim, and I wanted them to play music. And so it's nice to be able to bring instruments out to the school. But they love the instruments, they love music, they love singing. It's music is also it's a very healing thing, that being able to express things with music helps.
Sure.
Yeah, so that was the game. So we did a couple of trips out with the whole home and the staff. We went to a safari one day,
Oh, wow.
and they guaranteed us that there's loads of animals. We saw no animals at all, hardly. It was a great day out, with the kids, and there's educational. So there were elephants that they were nice to see. And then we did another trip with them, and we all went to a local sort of swimming. It was an outdoor swimming pool setup. Took them also to swim. I was struck with that too, because I want that for my own kids. So I want music and I want swimming, and because I just think there's so much enjoyment and health to be had from those things. So I stand on the side of the pool and I'm giving swimming lessons to all these kids, and we do all this fun stuff. I always did that with my own kids. I got a fork or a spoon and just threw it into the pool, and they had to go chasing after it, and first one to get it was the winner. All this sort of stuff. And it's just a lot of fun, but they loved it. These were just great memories for them. I think it's important for kids that they have these memories.
And then another aspect of the missions trip when you were out there, Pastor Steve, was, and would I be right in saying it was probably your first time getting to see a well-being dog in real time? And would you be able to maybe share what that was like, that experience, and for our listeners to kind of know what the benefit of a well is? We just go to a tap and turn it on, and we know that the water's going to be there. But for people out there, a well is a real lifeline just for the community, right?
So this is the farm that belongs to the mission, and so Gareth one of the first trips he went out there, they viewed the farm and they bought it and did nothing with it.
Okay.
Thought that it is a bit it's a bit far out from the town, so it's not something that you can readily get to from the capital city, Lusaka. It's a
Okay.
couple, probably about almost 3 hours away, three
Wow.
about our journey. Anyhow, it sits dormant for a while, and then Gareth gets through some links anyway. We get a farmer. Farmer goes is ready to go, but he needs a house, and so the house has to be built. That was one of the projects, and it was the young adults and Cork Church raised a lot of the money towards
Wow.
that. So anyway, the house gets built, and house is built. The farmer moves in, crops are planted, and they dig just a basic, five meter deep well or something. It's just very basic well, but they can't get enough water out of it.
Sure.
So one of the things we wanted to do on this trip was get a proper water solution
Yeah.
for them. So we head out. So I get to see this happen, and we drive out. And we get off the main road, and we start to drive along this gravel road, and we have to drive about an hour along this road, and it is horrendous. The roads in Donegal are bad, roads in Wexford are worse, you know.
Oh. Wow.
This was worse again, Jerry, than the roads.
Wow.
So we're driving along and we're shooting to bits, and it's hot, and we get out and we're just looking over thousands and thousands of hectares of farmland, and it looks nice, but all these crops are dead.
Wow.
And it was my first time to ever experience that, because Zambia is going through a drought
Yeah.
at the and. And so all these crops that they've planted are dead. And as we're driving along, there are these people walking this road, and we pass little villages of huts in a circle with sort of a some sort of center to the huts, and they're just thatched huts and tiny little things. And these people live in these huts. So it was my first time to ever experience that the people really do live like that.
Yeah.
And for them, their livelihood is agriculture mostly. I would say probably 95% of them are
Yeah.
in culture, and the crops are failing. So what is going to happen then? It was striking, Jerry, to stand in that heat, know it's a drought, and see dead crops in the fields. And where we drive to the farm through all of this, and we get to the farm, and some of our crops on the farm, the first crops have been planted, which was lovely. Some of them are dead because of the drought, and they're not able to irrigate these crops, because it's such hard work pulling the water out of the well. The well runs dry,
Yeah.
so we've organized to get a borehole drilled. So that's just it's a drill that goes down into the ground. They strike water at 5 meters, and they
Wow.
drill on down until they get to 50 meters. And
Wow.
so this is this there's plenty of water there.
Yeah.
And so they bore down, and then the water starts to come up, and like the water, because the water was still, there was a lot of clay in the water because it's
Yeah.
just freshly dug. The water comes out golden color, brown, I suppose, but
Yeah,
to me with the light through it, it looks like gold, and in a way it is gold,
Wow.
because this is treasure. This is a solution for life. This is going to bring community. This allows them to have health, even
Yeah.
that there's water there, and this is good water. It gets clean after a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this water is shooting up out of the ground, and it's like abundant, you know.
Wow.
And it's such a picture. It's such a picture. Even go back to the healing, you know, how the supply of the Lord for healing, for forgiveness, for life is abundant.
Yeah, that's right.
Brilliant. And it wells up and it overflows, and so it was just a lovely sight to see. And just so this water explodes out of this borehole. So they've work to do then. So we have solar panels to put up on the roof of the house. So yeah, on the roof, because it needs to be fairly secure, because they could get stolen out there.
Sure.
So those solar panels, and then there's barbed wire to go around those, you know, to try and keep some security.
Yeah.
And there is a pump to go in, and they have pipes to dig. So while that's all going on, I'm walking around. I'm looking at the crops that are still there. There's a whole field of tomato plants that are still alive. I'll get some pictures of all this, and I walk over to the well, and there's some of the local ladies there, and they are pulling out water with a type of a bucket on a rope, just pulling it straight up out of the no. Nothing fancy, no motors, nothing, and they pull up about 5 liters. And what happens the next day? So they pull up 5 liters after all they're pulling. They pour it into a barrel. They do this for they're doing this for a long time to fill up this barrel, and then
Okay.
they roll the barrel away somewhere, probably to their home.
Yeah.
This isn't clean water. This is dirty water,
Sure.
and the next morning. The results of the solar panels, the pump, and the borehole was that there was a 5,000 liter tank filled in an
Wow.
hour. In an hour,
Wow.
is 1,000 of their little buckets, you know, and that's just 1 hour. That's a tank full,
Yeah.
and they can turn it on and fill it again, you know, and so it's phenomenal. Now,
Yeah.
what that means out there, it means that community have a source of water, and the farmer that's in the house, he's going to be in charge of this.
Yeah.
He also has pastoral skills. He has worked with an organization called OM.
Awesome.
It's not just a farmer. He's able to encourage people in the gospel and the Lord, and care for people. So we have a lot of hope that so this is all just beginning. This is unfolding. There's so much can happen here. Once you
Yeah.
have water, the Zambian soil is very fertile. You can
Wow.
get a lot of crops. So what will happen is some of those crops will be used to make money for the mission, so that
Yeah.
hopefully we can open more homes. Actually, I need to come back. We need to finish on that too. We need to talk about that.
Yeah, sure.
But also that we can feed the kids on the streets, you know, because food is getting more expensive. With the drought, food is going to get more expensive again.
Yeah.
And so we need to have a food supply, you know, for the feeding program, for the homes that we have. And then it'll also be a blessing for the local community, you know, as they come. The plan is that we will work, do the agriculture in the same way as the locals would do it, so that they will have employment. It's not at another echelon higher of technology and all these things. Well, we get some technology there, but we want it to be on a par with the locals,
Sure.
so that they can relate to it. They can also participate in it, and it's you're less of a target then for charity and stuff. You know,
Yeah.
the more of a level playing field with the local community, and I think that's a healthy way to do it.
Yeah. And how has the local community's response been? Because obviously Gareth has been going out for several years. Ronan and Tasha have been there 2 years back to back, and now yourself. And are the local community on board with what's happening? Do they feel like it's almost like an invasion of their personal space, or are they excited, or?
That's a great question. Well, at the farm when we were there, the local sort of headman, or I think he's a little bit like a chief, he was there, and he actually is all into this. He is delighted with what's happening, with what's growing, because I think they know that was it a rising tide lifts everybody or lifts every boat, or there's some phrase like that. That as that farm grows, their local community is going to benefit, and they feel a part of it. They feel connected to it. They feel a certain amount of ownership with it. And we, with our mission, will always be generous in that way, and probably help them. So I think they're very positive. A nice story about. Back in the Saka, the Gareth's home, the local community there. But you see, their kids are getting taught. Their kids are getting educated in the school at where they wouldn't have had a school. And a funny story was somebody broke in to, I think it was the school, and stole some stuff. Well, the local community, they were not one bit happy about this, and they tracked down the guys and the stuff. Now, I don't know what they actually did to the guys. They didn't kill them or anything, but I think they taught them a lesson. And so the local community, they love what's happening.
Oh, wonderful.
They're completely behind it. They defend it. They feel an ownership in it as well, because of the blessings that are being reaped. To the community, and it's a pattern that I think Gareth and Drop-In and Hope Mission, they've done very well with that, because even in the charity shops up in Donegal that are helping resource the projects, they work with the local community, and they it's a mix of the mission and local community. And it's always that wherever the mission happens to be, it's a mix of the local community and the mission. And
That's
it
awesome.
works really well. It works really well. Yeah, so it's been well appreciated, and the local church as well. Members of the Hope Mission Zambia, the Zambia board. You have to have a local board work through over there. So yeah, so it's very positive. Actually, that board, it's one of my reasons for confidence is that board in Zambia. There are quality people on it, pastors, educated people with people who have been involved with street kids for many, many years are on the board. Teachers, a lot of quality people on the board there, and it leads me to think that there's more to this. It's going to grow. So that's exciting. It's nice to see good foundations going in.
And you know, I love it when I had Gareth on the podcast. He's a man of action, you know. He reminds me of a modern day action man. You know, like he's a go-getter, which is what I love about him, that spirit of just get up and go for it, you know. And he was sharing just very openly about how this isn't just a 12-week plan. This is more like a 20, 30-year plan. So like it's awesome just to see that right now he was on about like how the foundations are being laid, and once the foundations, such as a well, that's a game changer, just as you said, for the local community, the quality of life, the crops which can fund the community, so on and so forth. So, and I'm getting stirred in my spirit. I'm just getting excited just to see that this was a man who sought God, and God gave him a vision, and he acted upon it. And the provision of God is now impacting the community in Lusaka and the Zambian area. And I just think it's awesome. I really do.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And while we were there, we went down two doors down and viewed a house that is we've already agreed to purchase this, the mission has, and it's going to be a house for boys. So we went down there, stood outside the front of it, went into the yard, and these are all sort of compound houses. There's walls around them and gates, so you have to get in, and we prayed in it, and just seems that the Lord is opening a door there for a
Wow.
boys' home as well, which is so important. But this is what I was thinking, Jerry, is that God has been so good to me, brought healing in my life and changed me in many ways to the point where I can be a vessel to help others. Now, I'd like to be better at that, but
Sure.
I can be, and God is using me in that way, and He's using you in that way. And what I believe is He's going to take the girls in that girls' home, the boys in the boys' home, and He's going to take them, and with the healing that He's bringing into their lives, having come from horrendous backgrounds,
Yeah.
and hopelessness, He's going to take them and make them into vessels that will turn, that will bless others. Well, this is what the gospel does, and
Yeah.
it's life, it's gold, Jerry. It's the Spirit of God doing something that multiplies.
Yeah.
I think Gareth is right. I think there's foundations going in that are good and healthy, and I think this is gonna multiply into blessing many, many others.
Yeah.
Even just seeing some of the kids getting educated, or getting as they hit sort of that late secondary school phase, and they're considering third levels. There's some of them now that are being sponsored to do electrical work. Some
Oh,
of them,
wow.
I think there's somebody once is going through radiography. Another in hospitality. Primarily, actually, the hospitality one is interesting because they want to study hospitality so that they can help run homes.
Wow.
So they can be better at catering and feeding and the logistics of running homes. So it's lovely to see it and
Yeah.
see what the Lord is bringing about there.
That's awesome. I suppose I wanted to ask you, Pastor Steve, because obviously we're a church that's on mission both locally in Cork through Feed Cork and just our youth and young adults outreaches and even the Filipino ministry, the Portuguese, the Russian ministry, and the Indian ministry. So there's a lot of outreach happening in our church on a weekly basis through our congregation. And going overseas and doing missions is a lot different. And maybe people listen to this. Like, I've never been on an overseas missions trip yet. I've been to Latvia, I've been to Holland a few times. But I'm yet to go on an overseas mission trip. And how would you encourage people to go on an overseas mission? Like, how has it impacted your faith to see what we take for granted here being such a massive blessing in a less fortunate country, do you know?
I think sometimes when you go to a place like Zambia, the need is very obvious, and you can very easily become part of the solution. That need you can bring resources, you can feed, you can clothes, you can house, and you can bring something of our wealth, I suppose, of our privilege over here, and also bring the gospel to very obvious brokenness and need, and be effective there very quickly because the need is very obvious. And that I think that is something that is a catalyst. It stimulates something within the Christian, and because here's what happens, and this is what happened to me as well. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than receive, and when somebody steps into a place of giving, whether that is in Zambia or whether it's here in Ireland, it doesn't matter. Once they start to step into that place, they learn the joy. They learn the joy of just bringing blessing to others. They also learn another joy, and that is the joy of forgetting about yourself. And there's something so healthy about that, you know, and especially if you go to somewhere like Zambia, and we go over and we have all this privilege, all this wealth, and our money goes so much further over there. You go there and you see how privileged you are, and you find yourself asking some questions, like, why do I think I need more? You know, why do I concentrate on the things that I don't have so much? You know, because just being in that environment, it triggers certain questions, and that those are all healthy things, because they don't just apply when you're out there. When you come back, I think it helps you to see brokenness as brokenness, whether it's rich brokenness or poor brokenness, whether it's Irish brokenness or Zambian brokenness. Brokenness is brokenness and needed. And whether the hurt is a little more disguised or hidden, or whether it's very obvious, like those kids on the dump, it doesn't matter. Hurt is hurt. And the need is real. And I think a combination of a few things there, you know, seeing ourselves in a different way, seeing our privileges in a different way, stepping in to the joy of sharing, the joy of seeing people helped, and getting past yourself, you know, shedding a little bit of self-consciousness. I think when you go somewhere foreign, you can do things that you maybe wouldn't do at home. You'd preach where you might preach at home, where you'd sing a song where you might sing at home, and you forget about yourself a little bit, and you actually find a great joy of realizing that God wants to use me in ways that I never thought possible. God wants me to preach it. He wants to use me to share the gospel with somebody. He wants to use me to just pray for somebody, and they're healed. You know, is God wants to use me? Is that work at home? You know, and so there's a lot of good things that happen on the mission field, and just, well, I suppose it's all mission field, isn't it? But they're very helpful things, and if you are, I think if you're somebody who's leaning in a little bit, if you find yourself stirred to do something for the Lord, and you don't quite know what it is, just go on mission, and over those few weeks, just do whatever you're asked to do, and you find areas, you find, oh man, I love working with kids, or you know, I love homeless ministry, or city center ministry, or whatever it is. And just get stuck in, and God will direct you, you know. Because the truth is that we are the plan, Jerry. You know, as human beings, we as Christians are the plan for God to bring kindness, health, eternal health, forgiveness, healing, the gospel to the world. And so God wants to do it. And if we will lean in and just give him that opportunity, he'll do it. And we're so blessed. We're so rich in it. And our faith grows in him, and our relationship grows with him. And we discover all these things about God. And another thing that happens on mission as well is that forgetting about yourself, that cannot be understated. Freedom that comes, I don't care so much what people think of me anymore, but just, you know, I'm not so worried about people's opinions of things. I'm getting on with what God has given me to do, and I'm enjoying it, and I'm loving it, and people are blessed, and I'm going to go to heaven, and he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant.
That's right.
So it's a real encourager. It's it helps shed some of the fears and things, and there's a lot of benefit with
Love it.
pet.
You know, even as you were saying about how you don't care so much about what people think when you're on the missions field, it actually it frees you to serve. You know, when you recognize that when you're in a land where you don't know the people there, like you, it's weird. You don't actually care what people think because they don't know you to have an opinion on you, which means you're free to step out and, as you said, sing or preach or dance or whatever it may be. Whereas at home, we've become so familiar with everyone. We like what we like about them. We don't like what we don't like about them. And you know, we're very fickle as human beings with how we kind of have checklists on people and preferences and stuff, you know. But Pastor Steve, I've loved this podcast episode because what it's done is it's shown us the bigger picture that not only is God at work in Cork or in Ireland or wherever people are listening to this, your locality, he's actually in work at the world. In the whole world at large, and we actually get to be a part of it, which is crazy. He doesn't need us to be a part of it. He could do whatever he wants by the click of his fingers, but he chooses to use us to be a part of that great work on co-mission with him, which I think is incredible. Just that he would be so kind to allow us to speak to people in Cork or Zambia or any missions field. Like we're so undeserving of it, yet he makes us fit for service, which is incredible.
He allows us to represent him, and he allows us to be his vessels. He can flow through us. That's a privilege, Jerry. What a privilege. What
Really
a privilege.
is. Yeah, indeed. But Pastor Steve, I want to thank you for coming on. And what I'm going to do is for the people listening, I'm going to include in the bio the links to Gareth Hayes's the mission trip. There's a website, there's the other center website as well. So I'm going to leave them in the bio on the YouTube
Brilliant.
podcast and Spotify. And if people are feeling it on their heart to give, like it doesn't matter how little or how much, a little in your hands, when you place it in the hands of the Lord, he can use it to be incredibly beneficial to people over in Zambia. It may be two less cups of coffee or a McDonald's that you paid €17 for and you feel hungry 5 minutes later. Trust what the Lord may do with that. Your few coins or whatever you want to put towards it, but the links will be in the description below. Pastor Steve, thank you
Okay.
so much for coming on. Thank you for giving an insight. I've truly, as you're talking, I'm trying to picture what the well is like, what the station around the farm is like, and the schools and the homes, and it's just incredible to see what the Lord has done and how He's allowed you to go and bring a report back from the Zambia mission trip. So thank you so much.
My pleasure, Jerry. I've enjoyed it, and I've enjoyed just reliving some of the experiences. To just one last thought, before, about a little going a long way. One teacher out in Zambia earns, actually, there's two teachers in the school. They earn €75 a month. A month. So if you give €20 to missions, you're paying a teacher's wages for a week. And it may not seem like a lot of money, but it's very, very effective. So, just to encourage people, but I was struck with that as well, Jerry. 75 a month, and they live on that, and that's a wage out there. That's a typical teacher's wage.
That's incredible. Wow,
Isn't
thanks for sharing that. That helps to put it into perspective.
it? Yeah.
You know, it really does. Wow. It also goes to show just how rich we are and how we have become maybe a little bit too entitled, a little bit selfish and everything else, you know, and yet we're so rich, yet we complain the most. You know, if we turn on
Don't
the
help.
tap, yeah, like if we turn on the tap and there's a little bit of lime water we're giving out, going, oh, bring an ESB or sorry, Irish Water Works, hey, what's going on here? There's lime in my water. Instead of going, thank God I've got running water, you know.
So thank you for having me, Jerry. Enjoyed it. Look forward to the next one.
Indeed. Bless you, Pastor Stephen. For those of you that are listening, thank you so much for tuning in and listening or watching, whatever you may be, however you may be consuming it today. But maybe your heart is being stirred to give to support the Zambian mission trip. I hope that Pastor Steve's testimony has encouraged you with his report. And if you haven't listened to the Gareth Hayes podcast, please check that out as well and allow the Lord to use the podcast to challenge you to step out and trust the Lord with your loaves and fishes when you put them in His hands to be a blessing to people over in Zambia that you don't know, but maybe one day you'll meet them in heaven, which would be an awesome testimony. Thank you, guys. Till next week, take care. God bless. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Hope Sessions podcast. Did you enjoy the episode? Maybe did it encourage you or motivate you? Do you think that someone in your life could benefit or be blessed by this episode? If so, then why not send it to them? Lastly, don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to this podcast on whatever platform you use. This massively helps to spread the podcast literally all across the world. And don't forget, the hope is to life as oxygen is to the body. God bless you and have a wonderful week. Take care.